This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And thank you to our special sponsors, iris.co.uk. Martin, you saw a great video just recently from Iris, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I think people don't know Iris is they were ahead of the game for MTD Phase 1 because they were the first software vendor to be listed as approved by the HMRC TD filing. And guess what? They're fully prepared for the next. So they've got an MTD webinar on demand that you can catch up with at any time. Rob, where did they go to see this?
It's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. That stands for Making Tax Digital for our international listeners. And there's some great stuff there that you need to know to guide you through the whole Making Tax Digital initiative. So iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. Right, Martin?
That's right. So wherever you are in your journey, Iris know that they have the knowledge and tools to help you in the next steps. That's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have me today, Paul Winrow, technical partner at MHA McIntyre Hudson. Hello to you, Paul.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
We're great. Super to have you on the show, Paul. There'll be people that haven't come across you before, even though you're world famous. So tell us a bit about you, your areas of expertise, Paul, and how you got into this.
Yeah, sure. So I've got a long background in public sector audit, but for the last, 10 years or so, I've been in broader audit. So I'm currently the technical partner, as you say, at McIntyre Hudson. And I'm also the ethics partner. I've just taken on the role of ethics partner. Prior to that, I've had a multitude of roles. MHA McIntyre Hudson is the UK member firm of Baker Tilly International. I joined MHA McIntyre Hudson from Baker Tilly International's global office, where I was the director of professional standards. That role incorporated leading the development of the global audit methodology, rolling that methodology out to the member firms, redesigning the global audit quality program, running the ethics and independence for the network, and also global technical support and training. My current role is very similar to that, but in a UK context rather than the global network context. So it's kind of drilling back down into, as I've said a few times to people, it's a bit like being back in the real world. Sure. Being in the global office was great, but you're a little bit divorced from the coalface. Prior to joining the Baker Tilly Network, I was at Grant Thornton for 14 years. I was on to come to Grant Thornton's international office as well for 3 years, developing their global audit methodology. And I was the UK head of audit technical at Grant Thornton as well.
So what was your first job?
Public sector trainee at KPMG. Okay. A long time ago.
You didn't even have a paper round before they launched you into KPMG.
Oh, well, I did have a paper round for an awful long time. I was still delivering newspapers in my 20s when I went home from university. But that's, that's a
long time. If you weren't an accountant, what do you think you might have been?
I have a PhD in paleontology and I did geology. Goodness. At university. So the obvious thing that I always thought I would be, really, was a geologist. But okay. For one reason or another, when I graduated, I ended up going into accountancy. So I would have thought a geologist, maybe an academic. Or possibly working out on the oil rigs in the North Sea, who knows?
I had the privilege of conducting a series of 24 virtual panels with the leaders of global accounting networks over lockdown, and Ben Lloyd from Baker Tilly International appeared on a couple of our panels. And we asked those leaders of leaders, if you like, who are leading accounting firms, what response the accounting profession had made to COVID. How agile were they? Has it driven any technical changes, Paul? And if so, have the profession adapted to that well enough?
I think you've seen one of my previous things on the internet where I talked about the end of Sally, the same as last year. I think it's been really quite refreshing on a professional level. Clearly, it's disastrous worldwide, but on a professional level, it's been really quite stimulating because it's forced us all to think differently about things. We can't just do what we did last year. Even if we wanted to, we can't. And similarly, the clients aren't doing what they did last year. So certainly from my perspective, I've been really impressed with how the profession as a whole has responded to COVID and developed new ways of doing things. You would never have thought that you could do an audit without going to the client's premises, but we can. You would never have thought we could attend a stock take without physically going to the stock take, but we can. So I think it's been really refreshing how people have responded. So a lot of, particularly mid-tier firms, I guess, have been looking at technology and innovation for a number of years. Let's do things differently. Let's implement this. Let's have a client portal where we can share electronic information. And we've talked about it and maybe not done it. Whereas this year, it's forced us us to do it. It's actually forced our hands.
People that might look on a career in accounting, particularly the technical stuff that you get involved with, and see it's quite boring, but you don't sound like a boring or a bored person.
No. Well, I don't know about boring. That's what you better ask other people. But no, like I said, I mean, I do get bored easily. So if it really was like that, I wouldn't be in it. And I think it's because it's always changing. If I look back over, what is it now, 27 years, I think I've been doing this. You know, I started out doing audits on paper and LibreArch files, and then we introduced the computer. There was one computer in the office at the time. And,
wow.
And we still did things on memos and carbon copies and things. But I think, you know, from that to where we are today, the change and the constant change has been phenomenal.
Let's talk about risk, Paul. It's not a word generally associated with accountancy.
To my mind, the obvious big risk that I took, been in public sector for, at the time, about 20 years, and I'm SIPPA qualified, so purely public sector background. I can't, as things stand today, I couldn't, for example, sign a company set of accounts because I'm not an RI in the UK. So having had 20 years in SIPPA qualified in public sector, and always kind of felt that I was kind of pigeonholed into that, I'd gone so far in my career that I didn't really have anywhere else to go. I was just kind of go to carry on doing that forever.
So this was a career risk then, was it?
It was, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so an opportunity presented itself to become head of audit technical at Grant Thornton.
How different was it for you when you dipped your toes into that world?
The rules and regulations are different, but again, somebody I used to work with used to use the phrase, audit's audit, right? And to a certain extent, yeah, audit's audit, right?
Yeah.
So in that respect, it wasn't a massive leap. The challenges were more around the rules and regulations, you know, things like Companies Act and all that sort of stuff, which I'd never dealt with. But then I was leading the department, not necessarily needing to get into that level of detail. And similarly today, you know, I've got a really strong team who know all of that stuff. My role is to guide and lead them through the next few years rather than necessarily worry about that sort of thing. So I think as long as you've got the strong team behind you and to support you in your learning on it, then that worked quite well.
Have you ever failed, Paul?
I was working at PwC. I'd just transferred down to their London office and I was desperate to make a good impression. And every time somebody said, oh, Paul, can you take this on? I said yes. And I kept saying yes and I kept saying yes and I kept saying yes. And then all of a sudden there was university audit season. I had way too many audits. And I ended up, as a result of that, I missed the filing deadlines for two very small subsidiaries, missed the filing deadline. And frankly, you know, it was made pretty clear that that was more or less me done at PwC. That was a pretty horrible experience. And the conversation with the partner afterwards was pretty uncomfortable. But as ever, you learn from your mistakes. That's the main thing to do. And the thing that I really took from that was I always used to see saying no as a weakness.
Mm.
But I now see it's one of anybody's biggest strengths. So I said to my teams, if you are a capacity, say so.
And when you were getting that dressing down, Paul, you'd failed, you'd missed the deadlines. What was your approach there? Are you hands up? I really messed up. Were you looking for excuses? Were you ashamed?
I was devastated at myself.
Right.
And ashamed is probably the right word. I mean, I was definitely more of the hands up, look, yeah, okay, I screwed up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yes, there was an excuse that they kept giving me work, but it was up to me to say no. So, I mean, I took full responsibility. It was my screw up. You like to take the credit for the good times, and I do like to take the credit for the good times, but you also got to take responsibility when things aren't necessarily as good as they could be.
Let's drag your self-esteem up now by asking you about some good times. And is there anything you're particularly proud of on your watch?
In 2012, Grant Thornton were very successful in the public sector market. We took in 300 new staff from the Audit Commission after the Audit Commission sadly demised and the work was won by the private sector firm. And we took on about 300 people and we went through a massive exercise integrating those people, developing the new audit methodology. We took it as an opportunity to say, right, let's really make our audit methodology work for the public sector. We know 40% of the market, let's make the most of this opportunity. We wrote and delivered a training course for 400 people all in one go, in one venue, which Everybody said it can't be done. And we said, no, this is the way we're going to do it. We're not breaking it up regionally. We're going to do it in one venue and it's going to be one big bash. And we delivered that training course and it was a huge success. And I sat there on the last night of that training course with a beer in my hand in the bar. And I thought, that's the peak of my career. Mm. Yeah, I'm whatever I was at the time, 44. But where do I go from here? And actually, ever since then, I've just keep reaching new peaks. And that's been, for me, that's been amazing because I genuinely thought, that's me done now. You know, all I'm just going to see out the next however many years doing whatever it is I do. And then, as I said, this opportunity at Head of Audit Technical came along and it was like, well, here's a chance to actually do something fresh and different. So that integration of the Audit Commission people was a huge success and I'm really proud of that. In terms of since then, developing a global audit methodology for the first time at Grant Thornton International, being part of a team that developed a global audit methodology, phenomenal experience. going to Baker Tilly International, kind of finishing off their audit methodology, which was kind of in process when I joined, but finalizing their global audit methodology, then rolling it out to over half the network, or around about half of the network. That was a huge achievement. We completely rewrote the quality improvement approach for Baker Tilly as a global network. And there was smaller scale things, like we used to do a training course that was 3 days attended by about 20 people. And over the course of the 3 years I was there, it got to over 100 last time we ran that course.
You certainly give the impression that you feel it's a responsibility, not just to do a good job, but you're putting content out there, aren't you? You're coming on interviews like this, you're writing on LinkedIn, you feel it's part of your role, maybe to be that professor or academic that you were, but teaching other people and bringing others through and sharing your knowledge.
Over the last 2 or 3 years with the international roles, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a responsibility to the profession rather than necessarily my team, my job, my firm. It's trying to sort of, you know, trying to contribute to the wider profession, if you like, in the direction it's going. And, you know, I mean, all right, some of what I say is barking mad. I know some of what I say is barking mad. Sometimes it's intended to be just to provoke a bit of a response.
Well, this has been great, Paul. If people want to pick your brains on stuff, have a conversation with you, find out more about what you're doing, what's a good way for them to get in touch with you?
They can find me via LinkedIn or on the MHA McIntyre Hudson website. And there'll be an email link on there as well that people can contact me that way.
Well, Paul Renaud, that's been superb. Thank you so much for your time and your insights today.
Thank you. It's been great. Thank you.
I've got to say a big thank you, Martin, to one of our brilliant sponsors, Docket. They've been on interviews for the show. They've been with us from the beginning. Huge supporters of what we're doing here at Accounting Influencers. And I know you're a big fan of Docket, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, they've been recently acquired by the Iris Group, so they're powered by Iris now, and people have heard about that. But what they haven't heard about is, why did they get acquired by Iris? And it was because, under the radar, Rob, they've helped over 500 accounting firms, just like our listeners, improve their processes with their document management, their workflow, PDF, and web portal tools. I bet you didn't know that.
I did, actually, because I'm aware of the website docket.com/AIP. That's docket, docket.com/AIP. And there is where our listeners can access some great free helpful resources. They've got a white paper that gives tips on how accounting firms can choose the right client portal, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think they've also got a tax season income maximization guide as well. But that gives tips on how to make your firm run smoothly, securely, efficiently. But there's more than that, Rob. Our listeners will also get a 50% discount on training and implementation, which teaches them the best practices on how to be as efficient as possible in all related areas. Need help with your software? Call
Ghostbusters.
No, Rob, it's Docket.
So, you wonderful listeners, if you need help with your software and document management, call Docket or go to docket.com/AIP.